Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to the Melchester Odyssey again. We're looking at the 17th of July 1982 issue. I'm looking at the cover now, which I think I sent you a copy of. It's a really good, distinctive cover. It's not a Roy of the Rovers cover, but it's from the Marx Brothers story. Whoever the fuck they are. They're in here somewhere. Yeah. I don't remember much about that one. A couple of brothers whose surname's Marx, I guess. But one of them, he looks like Action Man with a bubble perm. And he's got a cricket bat.
No, mate. Hang on a minute. Are you sure? Oh, yeah, okay, go on.
I think so, yeah. Who do you think it is?
No, I'm looking at it, right, because he looks like my Uncle John, who had a hairdo like that.
My Uncle John's not in Roy the Rovers, Sam.
Could be him. Although I never once saw the fucker pick up a cricket bat.
You've
much
mixed
less
up
fucking
real life.
Smack one to the boundary like this cunt is.
You've mixed up real life and a cartoon story yet again.
But I'm telling you, in 1982, Uncle John looked just like this fucker.
Right. Well, I'll take your word for it. Maybe this fucker. I'm looking at the Marx Brothers story inside. And yes, they're playing cricket as well. Every country in this comic is playing cricket.
I got confused. I thought that they were mentioning the Marx Brothers on the cover, but I thought, well, they can't be more cricket than Roy the Rovers in this issue. It's a fucking football magazine. I mean, we're a football podcast. That's why we only talk about football, right?
It's not the Marx Brothers from the films. Groucho,
I love them.
Harpo.
They're hilarious, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's Marx Brothers, M-A-R-K-S, and it's Stephen Terry Marx. And this is Terry. Stephen Terry Marx have been invited to go on tour to Australia with an FA party. Everyone's just fucking playing cricket. It's mad.
I think it's an experiment. I think they've gone, right, fucking sales go out their fucking arse in the summer months. It's a disaster, especially when it's not a World Cup year, which it is this year. But nevertheless, I think we should devote most of the comic to cricket and see if we can get out of that. And who knows whether or not they did it. But fair play to them for making cricket come alive in such a way.
We could ask Roy the Rovers editor Barry Tomlinson, because he's pretty much our best mate on social media,
mate,
now.
My stomach almost did fall out of my ass, which is possible. It can happen to people. Look it up, yeah? Right? When I saw that Barry Tomlinson had... I knew he was following us, but when I saw that he'd actually engaged on Twitter, I was like, fucking hell, here we go.
Like you said, I don't think he can take legal action against us for what we're doing, but at the same, I don't want to break his heart.
In the world of journalism, this is critique and review, yeah? Mm. And like it or not, we are able to critique and review something that you've put into the public domain for entertainment purposes.
It's like when you used to do Sky Papers on a morning.
Yes.
It's exactly like that.
It's exactly like that. We are simply renewing children's comics from 40 years ago. That's all we're doing.
Well, put it this way. We're not creating fewer sales of Roy the Rovers merchandise, are we? We're creating more. We're renewing interest
fucking
in it.
Right.
But I just don't want Barry to listen to these episodes and think that we're taking his characters.
All of this comes from a place of love.
It does. I mean, he clearly is still besotted with the characters he created and edited.
Which is brilliant.
He was on my Twitter yesterday. He was on my Twitter yesterday interacting with a fella who had had, he won the £5 prize in an issue, but they'd spelt his name wrong. He was called Chris with a K, and Roy the Rover's comic had spelt it with a C. And he said it still hurt all these years later. And Barry Tomlinson chirped up to apologise.
Wow.
And it was lovely. And in the end, Chris with a K in the end, invited Barry to help him overhaul his shed this weekend. But Barry had to decline.
Oh, that's a shame. You know what, though, mate?
He was too old.
It is wonderful, right? Barry, I don't know how old he is, but he must be getting on a bit, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, first of all, Barry should know that we're sat here now, two fucking 40-something-year-old idiots, right, reviewing these comics from 40 years ago. Why? Because they had a massive and lasting impact on our minds and our worldviews in myriad ways, right, and still do, right? And they did, and we also had an instinct that they had the same effect on, like, thousands, if not millions of other young men in particular. And then on top of that, we thought, well, there might be people younger than us who didn't even grow up with this, but it's so good that once they rediscover it, they will find something in it too. Now, Barry Tomlinson, in life, you get all these different people being recognised or honoured and fucking banging on about the shit that they've achieved, where they haven't had... There are famous multimillionaires, right, who have not had even the tiniest fraction of an impact on popular culture and the minds and hearts of British society as Barry Tomlinson did, right? But Barry Tomlinson is not getting statues built of him, right? Barry Tomlinson is not having a six-month retrospective at the V&A like David Bowie did, right?
Yeah.
But I would wager that, and I this isn't where I intended to go with this little rant, but here we are, right? Something's just occurred to me. I would say that Barry Tomlinson has had a far greater impact on British society, right, than David Bowie ever did.
Yeah, that's nonsense. I knew you were going to say that. That's nonsense. But
David Bowie, he did some good records. But you've got to remember, mate, a lot of the time when those was like, there were sort of weirdos and hippies and hipsters who liked David Bowie, right? Barry Tomlinson, every fucking boy was reading Roy the Rovers in the 70s and 80s. All of us were. That was the real thing that shaped our worldview. Not fucking Bowie titting about in Berlin taking heroin, mate.
Let's not get into Scholes versus Rejvani territory yet again. Because that's where this is headed.
I think that's our greatest ever moment, though, mate.
I think it is as well. Yeah. Anyway, let's not sit there wanking each other off from 300 miles apart.
Right.
Roy the Rovers, that's Terry Marks apparently on the front. And it says, he's really whacking them. Not bad for a soccer player. It's a great image, though. You'd walk into the
news
agent to see
that. This is a brilliant cover. Again, this could win any of these Poncy Awards. That could win Magazine Cover of the Year. It probably wouldn't have done. Because it's so good. And do you know what my favourite bit is, mate? Look at the shine on the cricket ball.
Oh, yeah.
That's great colouring, isn't it? That's great colouring in.
This week, it says at the top, Roy raced back to the game where there was another blow for Rovers. And we'll find out what that's going to be. A little catch-up in the top left-hand corner, as every week, says the Rovers were playing a series of one-day cricket matches against powerful Carmody's Cavaliers to raise money for struggling Stanthorpe United, who were managed, of course, by former Melchester star Lofty Peak. In the first match, Mervyn Wallace was injured by a vicious ball from Aussie fast bowler Ralph Meeker. And then Roy himself was bowled over by an even more sensational event. And of course, at the end of the last one, Roy rushed to hospital because Penny had given birth to their third child. And there we see there's a photographer in. The press have obviously been alerted. There's a nurse, a couple of nurses watching over the scene. Penny is in bed. Roy,
put a bit of fucking lipstick on for fuck's sake, because I've done a deal with Hello magazine, right? But the thing is, part of the deal is they want to take pictures of the baby within 10 minutes of its birth. So you better put on your best fucking nightie. But Roy,
I've just been through childbirth. I've been in labour for 23 hours. I feel awful. The last thing I want is...
Shut your mouth, here he comes. Quick, stick this on. Get some fucking lippy on. You look a fucking state. It's embarrassing.
But of course I look a state, Roy. Don't you understand?
Right, keep smiling. There's 10 grand riding on this deal.
I'll tell him to keep the shot above where all that blood stains are. On the bed.
Don't worry.
Don't want to see that. I've
got final approval on the images before they get printed. Like,
I mean, well, it kind of looks a little bit like he's just shoved her across the bed so he can get in as well. But I think they're probably next to the bed.
I wouldn't worry, Pen. It's me they're interested in. Me and the baby, anyway. They may well crop you out completely, to be honest.
What's your favourite side of your face? Because we'll make sure that you get one side in, and that'll be your favourite one. I'll sit either side. I'm not fussed. But the main thing is that I'm in there and the baby.
No offence, right, to Penny, who we have said on many occasion we find very sexually attractive.
I mean, no offence to her because she's a fictional character, but yeah, well, carry on. Yeah.
But in the next panel, when he's giving her a bit of a kiss on the cheek, like, just make nice, I'm going to give you a kiss for the photographer. Right, her face. I don't know whether Barry Tomlinson was having an off day or what, right? Or, in fact, he didn't do the drawings, did he?
That was David Skew, wasn't it, who did the drawings?
David Skew was having a particularly bad hangover. But he has aged Penny, right, from the first panel to the second by a good 30 years, mate. She goes from being, put it this way, right, she goes from being Pam Ewing to pre-rehab Sue Ellen. No, she looks like fucking Cliff Barnes, is who she looks like in the second panel, mate. I don't know what's going on.
It's been through childbirth. It's not easy. Back to the first panel, though. Yeah. There's a bit of speech going on there as well. And he says, so that's agreed, Penny. We call our new baby girl Diana. I think Roy's got a bit of a fucking thing for Princess Diana here because he's very insistent on this.
No, we've agreed.
We've agreed that I've suggested it.
Listen, Penny, I've never hidden the fact that I am into blondes. That's my type. You know that.
It's the narcissist in me.
I find that... Listen, blonde is better. Everyone knows it. Yeah, blonde bombshell, not brunette bombshell. That's why in this marriage, right, there's always one who's better, right? And it's me. When people see us walking down the street, Pen, have you not noticed and do double take thinking, what's going on there? She's punching a bit, isn't she? But I like you for other reasons.
If I were with a blonde, I'd be constantly watching me back and I can't be having that. So that's why I picked you. You're a brunette. You're a good-looking woman, but a bit dowdy, and ultimately a brunette, and it's not good enough. But
you're homely, is what you are, and that's what I were looking for in a wife. I have other needs, but we don't need to discuss it. They can be catered for elsewhere.
You're going to be a very good mum. You already are. Who's to say we won't have 3 or 4 more kids to keep you busy?
And what's his name? Mungo. Mungo, that is not even anything. That's not your... Well, it might be your fault, because I don't know. I seem to remember you having a baby sham 7 months into pregnancy. It was your third trimester, and I caught you having a baby sham that Christmas, and that could have been why he's turned out the way he did. I don't know.
I mean,
but
look at
other than that, you've got a faultless record.
Look at me. I'm pretty much an Aryan god. If Hitler had won back in the 1940s, and we'd be under the yoke of the Nazis, I'd be all right. I'd be on easy street because of the way I look. You, not so much. But
you'd be,
you know.
Pen, you'd be dead. So think on.
So it's called Diana.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is congratulations. It's lovely.
And I love you very much.
Knocked another baby out.
I continue to love you. So he's giving a little kiss there, and he says, "Yeah." And then he says, "But now I'd better nip back to the game." He's kept a sail over the baby, and he's away back to the cricket. He says, "Now I'd better nip back to the game while you get some rest."
There's no point me sitting here. It's boring. I mean, who's getting out of it? Right, we've done the pictures, so I've fulfilled the contractual obligations. They said they'll pay within 30 days, so I ain't got to worry about that for the time being, right? Blackie will probably do... I'll get Blackie or Ben Galloway to raise the invoice, yeah? Get that off in the post, first class. Right, and I'll be charging them for the stamp as well as part of the fucking invoice. Don't worry about that. And I'll get back to the cricket, because what are we getting out of it? We've run out of things to say. You're tired. Babies, end of the day, they don't do much, do they?
It's pretty boring. The baby is pretty boring. All it needs is a bit of breastfeeding. I can't do that. I wish I could, but I can't.
If I could, I would, but I can't. Ben, the thing is, right... I'll live with you. I've always been honest with you. You've always demanded honesty. That's what I've always given you. But let's be honest, right? Being a dad is fucking boring, Pen, right? Parenting is boring. Kids are boring, right? Till they get to 18 and they can stand a fucking round in the feathers, I don't see the fucking point. Yeah?
So what so does he say?
That is why I'm going back cricket.
Now I'd better nip back to the game while you get some rest. The Rovers are probably taking the field right now. He's thinking about it. He's thinking about what's going on exactly at this point in time.
Thinking about
He's
it.
Preoccupied.
Oh, fucking go and sort out that Aussie cunt.
It says Roy was right. Skippering the Rovers in his absence was Blackie Grey. And Blackie Grey is talking to Charlie, who's got... he's the wicketkeeper, but he seems to be wearing a massive pair of rubber marigold gloves.
These are gloves gardening that you gloves. Use. These are like, yeah, these aren't wicket-keeping gloves that I'm used to seeing. These look more like those gloves that I think nuclear scientists wear.
Yeah, they're bright red. They? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they're Native American gloves, I don't know. But
gloves made of buffalo hide.
Stained with the blood of the kill. Blackie said,
they're nice, they are. I noticed them.
You just keep them to yourself, eh? I don't need to wear them or even see them. Charlie, I know that goalkeepers should make useful wicketkeepers, but surely you're not going to stand that close to the wickets. And he's standing right next close to the stumps, and Charlie says, why not, Blackie? What's so special about old Steve? Steve Naylor is opening. Blackie explains. Steve Naylor opens the bowling for Melchester Cricket Club. Like, Charlie should know this. He's part of the team.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of exposition.
Charlie, no, what cricket?
He's faster than you think.
Oh, don't worry, Blackie. It'll be piece of cake. I can take him.
I fucking hope so, Charlie.
I'm not sure.
My ancestors play many, many cricket out on plains. Long before English imperialists come and steal game from us.
We use hardened antelope dung for ball.
And stick fashioned from mighty oak.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Rod Carmody, what does it say? Fucking hell, padded up to Steve's second ball and he fucking hurls it. And it goes straight past the batsman and lands right in the middle of Charlie Carter's chest. Lampard's in the crowd say, "Ouch! I felt that! Charlie might have lost sight of the ball and it's cracked him on the collarbone!" Of course.
Which is actually one of the hardest bones to heal. They can't put it in a cast. Doctors just advise 6 weeks of complete rest.
Even the slightest movement can disrupt it. And set back the recovery by weeks.
The bone has to literally knit itself back together.
And he's fucked. as Mervyn Wallace was. He's now sitting on the ground with his shirt open, and it says, luckily, Taffy Morgan, Rover's trainer, was watching the game. Taffy Morgan's in his fucking civilian gear. Hey, look at his shirt.
I've never seen Taffy Morgan without his flat cap on, right? I'm seeing a complete different side. Taffy Morgan has been part of this story as far back as the 1950s when it started, because he's in my 1950s annual, right? And he's a funny character because he's a bit like one of those background characters you get in. Remember Big Ron in EastEnders? He hardly ever had a line, but he was just always there in the background. Yeah. That's like Taffy Morgan. And you didn't really know much about the characters like this. They tend to be kind of fairly two-dimensional. But this, Taffy Morgan's always in this flat cap and he just keeps his head down, does what Roy says, just gets on with the nuts and bolts, right, behind the scenes. Fucking hell. We've seen him here. He's got, I don't know, what I'm guessing is Taffy Morgan's got a young girlfriend on the go. He's suddenly wearing a fashion shirt. He's wearing a fashion shirt undone. He looks like he's lost a bit. He looks like he's been in the gym, right? Because the guy's pretty old, but suddenly he's like, the hair, I'm not sure if it could be Grecian 2000 he's got in that, because he's suddenly, we've not seen his hair before. I always assumed he was thinning under that hat, but quite lush. It's quite lush. He's got it all kind of blow-dried back with a little bit of studio line in there. He's got this fashionable shirt and he looks like he's been working out. This screams to me, young bit of fluff.
Midlife crisis, isn't it? Completely.
Midlife crisis.
Yeah. So,
I've been taking ecstasy tablets, Ron. Absolutely incredible.
I had them sent over from America. They're very new.
They're big on the gay scene. They're big on the gay scene in New York. And I can see why, Roy. They get you dancing all night long. You just feel so euphoric. Ah, not for me.
I'm high on life, Taffy.
I like to keep my fucking wits about me. You never know. Especially in one of them gay clubs. No, it's not like that, Roy. No, it's just a celebration of love and diversity. The kaleidoscope of humanity, Roy. The great kaleidoscope.
Are you sure I'm not going to get wanked off by a fella if I take one? Are you sure about that? I promise you, Roy.
That nearly happened to me in Greece one year. And if I'd been on anything stronger than fucking Retsos, then who knows what might have happened.
I was slightly tempted at the time, but I've come to my senses.
What I do not need is a happy disco drug making me feel even more inclined to those darker instincts.
So Taffy says, we'd better get him to hospital, Blackie. It seems like a hairline fracture of the collarbone, at the very least. Good grief, says Blackie. It's all fucking falling apart on Blackie's watch, hasn't it?
Where
He's
is
only
Roy?
Been in charge for half an
Where
hour.
Is Roy?
Roy, Blackie's in the fetal position in the corner of the field, rocking
don't
backwards
tell
and forwards.
Me he's been shot again. Although I could stand it. Every night I wake up thinking it's happened again. And now I think it has.
This has been the worst 9 months of my life. I can't cope. It says,
that
as the
bitch
Manchester...
wife of his has knocked out another fucking baby. So I shouldn't have said that about Penny. I don't know what came over me.
Another,
but it's something
another
frustrating.
Drain. It's another fucking drain on his affections.
Time she demands so much of his time.
I hate her.
She's so fucking needy.
I tell you what, when I went round and they told me she was pregnant, she gave me such a fucking death stare when she announced it. It was like she was saying, fuck you, Blackie, fuck you.
Just because she knows I don't have a womb, I'm broken inside. I can't give him what he claims most. And that's
it. as the Melchester goalkeeper was helped off by Taffy in his fashion ecstasy gear, Blackie says, whoa, it's been a couple of fucking panels, hasn't it? Blackie says, first Mervyn and now Charlie, they could both miss the start of the new season. I mean, this is ludicrous. Their fucking players are dropping like flies here. They shouldn't be doing this.
Mad they got involved
they
in it.
Be doing
I don't
this.
Know why Roy got us involved in this and fucked off.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. There's fucking 8,542 good reasons why I could tell you about.
Oh, fucking hell. Jimmy Slade says, no wonder Roy wanted to lead a team of professional cricketers against the Cavaliers. So Roy was originally going to be a team of professional cricketers, but he's got the fucking...
I'll get the fucking Rovers to do it. It's cheaper. Less fucking headaches.
And then, over the page, at that moment, Roy arrives back. A couple of Lampards looking over the hedge to the car park. It's Roy! He's back! Hey, I'll bet he's been to the hospital to see Penny. How the fuck do they know?
Fucking hell. Weirdos. Oh, well,
we do know, because in the next panel...
There's
an announcement over the tannoy, which seems to follow on from that bit of conversation in the crowd. It says, that's right, folks, and it's a bouncing baby girl. Roy and Penny are going to call her Diana. Hooray!
Hooray! They're named after the princess.
The pretty princess.
The princess of our hearts.
Why the fuck in 1981, 82 would people want a people's princess of their hearts like Diana when they got Bette Lynch on Coronation Street?
I know.
What a fucking come down. Anyway.
She was not like a quarter of the woman that Bette Lynch was.
She was not. And not a sexy woman at all, as we've discussed before.
Who would you want to fucking go away for a weekend in Mallorca with? Bette Lynch or Lady Di?
Bette Lynch
no
every time.
No fucking contest, mate. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people recently on social media saying, you know who would be a brilliant judge on Drag Race? Princess Diana. She'd be fantastic. And she'd be
fucking
so good
tedious.
On social media. What's she fuck?
Yeah, but that's just like all revisionism. When we were kids in the 80s, I mean, obviously, me and you were probably a bit more 3% even when we were kids, as I'm sure all our listeners were.
Yeah, we were, mate, yeah.
Yeah, but what I mean is that we weren't the sort to be fucking poring over the royals, right? Yeah. But, like, as I understood it, everyone just thought it was, like, corny. Apart from old women, everyone thought all of that stuff was just fucking... just boring, tedious bullshit. She never fucking said anything. Now, suddenly, everyone's, like, going on about she was a gay icon. She might have been, but that doesn't mean that she had the same fucking personality traits as fucking RuPaul. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That was to do with the way she probably looked and dressed that people thought was good, not, you know...
I mean, I know she was having a bad time, but she wasn't exactly brimming over with charisma when she did that Martin Bashir interview. You know what I mean?
She can't even look the cunt in the eye.
Nah, fuck her. Anyway, right.
Exactly, mate.
Here we go. Roy's got his fucking cricket and whites back on. He's striding back onto the pitch. Congratulations, Dad! Shouts one of the Lampards. How's Penny and the baby, Roy? He says, great, thanks.
I haven't got a fucking clue. Oh, I mean, they're dead good.
He says, great, thanks. In fact, everything is just fine. That's why I'm
fucking,
back.
Let's stop talking about it now, shall we?
There's cricket to be played. Matters in hand. And it says, fucking as Roy replaced Trevor Cassidy, who had been fielding in his place, Blackie's there with a very, very stern look on his face. He says, I hate to ruin a perfect day, Roy, but there's something you ought to know. And, what's his name? Vernon Elliott's there. And he says, Charlie Carter has been taken to hospital with a suspected broken collarbone. What? Says Roy. Right, that does it. I'm not risking any more injuries to valuable footballers. Who's going to take Charlie's place behind the stumps? Duncan Mackay volunteered.
Of course he does.
And with no one else available, Roy reluctantly agreed. I'm not going to sacrifice any valuable footballers. Duncan, you do it.
Right.
He says,
it would be an honour for me to sit behind these cricket stumps and guard them. In a way that I am not completely clear on, I admit.
Do not
am I
worry,
supposed
Roy,
to guard
my
the stump?
Face?
Am I supposed to catch the ball? Am I supposed to smash the ball against the stumps? Nobody knows.
My face is fashioned from the kind of granite that makes up Ben Nevis. I will be fine. Everything will be fine.
I could catch that ball in my fucking mouth. And it Roy, won't make a Roy, difference to me, Roy.
Roy gives him a bit of advice. He says, okay, Duncan, stand well back. Get used to the pace of the ball before you attempt anything spectacular. And he's pulling on the fucking nuclear scientist gloves. Och, I'll be okay, Roy, he says. But off the last ball of Steve Naylor's first over, it goes wide and it goes right past Duncan. Duncan's missed it by miles. That's four byes. Duncan dives and goes, ark! As it goes past him. And then the Rovers' other opening bowler was Jimmy Slade, and he sacrificed accuracy for speed. So he's just hurling it. And Garth Hastings, one of Carmody's Cavaliers, whacks it off. Too short! Garth Hastings has hooked it! That looks like a six all the way! Sure enough it is.
Fuck
Jimmy's
it
fourth
now.
Ball was also dispatched into the crowd. The Lampards look very concerned. Rovers look like they're getting thrashed, which won't do Lofty Peak any good. Yes, if the Cavaliers win too easily. If the Cavaliers win too easily, I shan't bother to watch the next game. Fucking cunts.
Fucking hell. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, nor
look
me.
At the bloke
this is another
said,
one.
Yeah, look at the guy who's saying nor me. Very often, as we pointed out, the people in the crowd, in any crowd scene in Roy the Rovers, are more or less the same three or four characters that are just painted over and over again. But this guy, we've never seen before. He's only a crowd member, and I doubt he comes back again. But he looks a little bit like Colonel Sanders out of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
It does, yeah.
He also like reminds me of one of my favourite Viz characters, Major Misunderstanding.
Yes.
He's got a sort of a curly white moustache. Normie!
Normie!
I'm local bigwig and tobacco farmer. Sir John Moustache. Anyway, yeah, that's it.
That's it from this one. Yeah, it says next week Roy bowls and his first ball is clouted for four. So, see where that's going to go. What do you reckon of that then? How many marks out of 10? I'm giving it a 9.
I enjoyed that a lot. And I don't know whether it's because we're recording on a bright sunny day, but I feel as if it's really... I'm in a bit of a summery mood, even though it's still February.
Yeah.
And the whole kind of vibe of this lovely summery cricket match has sort of put a spring in my mood. And for that reason, I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Wow. Okay. Reduction of the half mark there. All right. So we'll find out what happens next week. A couple of other bits that we normally delve into. The call of the week is increasingly becoming one of my favourite things, where basically a child rings up and dismantles the comic piece by piece and then wins £3. I mean, Roy must be some kind of masochist on the quiet. He enjoys people telling him that he's shit, because this is great. This is from David Leach this week, and it says... David lives in London, SE23, and says... I mean, it's again...
Sounds
a bit
Millwall
so,
with that postcode, but we'll let that pass.
He says, I'm 13 and my favourite stories are Durrell's Palace and the Marx Brothers. I think The Hard Man is rubbish and Mighty Mouse is not much better. The artwork in The Hard Man is stupid. People get into positions that only gymnasts could cope with. Viktor Boskovich is absurd. In Mighty Mouse, he's the only good player. Instead of star team, I would like to see another sign, please, page. Roy's reply is, that would be overexposure, David. Anyway, you win £3.
You just imagine Roy with a fag out of the court. Right, let's see this one. That'll be overexposure. Valid. Here's your £3. P.S. You're never allowed to buy the comic again.
Yeah, I mean, that's all valid, but the thing about having two sign please pages is ridiculous. That proves you don't know what you're talking about, you fucking knob.
I like it when they slag off the other strips that I'm not in. Maybe that's it, because you'll notice they never slag off Roy the Rovers.
No,
so it might
true.
Be that he's hoping for the whole comic to be just about him.
Very true. And then there's another one in the talking page where people send in questions and that. And this is from Wallasey, Merseyside. Peter Squires says,
being a few days short of my 20th birthday at the time of writing, I suppose I must be considered something of an elder statesman compared to most of your readers. Indeed, I have only been a regular reader of your excellent publication for a shade over a year, having become engrossed in Melchester Rovers. I mean, engrossed in Melchester Rovers' heroic, if ultimately futile, fight against relegation.
Fucking hell, is this Morrissey's written this letter?
This cunt, yeah. So this cunt has started reading it when he was about 18, and he's now 20. Yeah. Not only is he reading it, which he should be ashamed of, because he's 20, he's writing in, and he's fucking confessing with his real name and everything.
And he's going then over the top with his fucking letter as well. Exactly. He's like he's sat there with his quill.
He's angling for a job, isn't he? And then he goes on. Anyway, it was not fawning and adulation which has finally compelled me to put pen to paper. I just want to say that with all due respect to yourself, it's a refreshing change to have a hero in your paper who's not tall, slim, handsome, completely likable, generous, always popular, scrupulously fair, brave, a born leader, or particularly intelligent. I refer to, of course, Mighty Mouse. Fucking hell.
I'm not very likeable in the least, so I can really relate to that.
As a 20-year-old who reads children's comics and writes into them, I can identify with a loser like Mighty Mouse.
As you can tell by my slightly over-the-top and pompous tone of voice, I'm a very unlikable young man.
And Roy replies, another veteran. Welcome, Peter. I couldn't include all of your letters. Space wouldn't allow it.
Yeah, it sounds about
he's
right.
He's gone on for like five pages.
I mean, fuck me.
Yeah, excellent stuff. So that's that issue. 17th of July, 1982. And we're going to be back with the next one in a week's time. So thanks very much for listening. Hope you enjoy it. And always be careful.
Mind how you go now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.